All right, I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of Luke. I'm going to bring you a message from the 18th chapter of Luke. I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. Now, if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to get the Bible and open it to Luke chapter 18 and follow as I read this story. My title of my message today is The Good Man and the Bad Man. The good man and the bad man. And here in Luke 18, verse 9, it says, "The Lord Jesus spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." You hear that? The Lord spake this parable unto a certain group of people. And he defines who they are. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, that's a real religious man, a moral man. And the other, a publican, a great sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. "God," he said, "I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this publican." He pointed over at the publican who was in the temple. "I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, this is the Lord speaking now. He goes on. He said, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven." He didn't wave his hands. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he smote on his breast. And he said, "God, be merciful to me, because I'm a sinner." And Christ our Lord continued, and he said, I tell you, the Master declared, "This man, this sinner, this bad man, this publican, he went down to his house forgiven, justified, rather than the other man. For he says, everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, there's no reason to misunderstand this parable at all. It's very clear to whom it's addressed. It's addressed to certain people. Christ spake this parable unto certain people. And he tells about these certain people. He said these certain people trust in themselves that they're good. They trust in themselves that they're righteous, that they're without sin. And they despise others who are not as pious as they are. The Lord described these people over in Isaiah chapter 65. I tell folks, everything in the New Testament is in the Old. It's prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New. But in Isaiah 65, verse 5, our Lord describes the self-righteous. He says this. He said, they say, "Stand by yourself. Don't come near me, because I'm holier than you are." And God says, thus saith the Lord, these people are smoking my nose. It's like when you're barbecuing and the wind's blowing. You keep trying to get out of the smoke. It keeps blowing in your nose. And it irritates your nose. And you keep trying to get away from it. It follows you wherever he goes. And he says, these people that claim to be holier than others, they're smoking my nose. They're a nauseous smell that burns all the day. That's not very complimentary. But that's what the Master said. In Isaiah 65. Now, my friends, there are five marks of self-righteous people. Now, you listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. And the Lord Jesus tells us this right here in this parable. There are five marks of self-righteous people who think they're good, who think they're holy, who think they're holier than other people. Now, here's the five marks. You listen to them. The first one is this. They justify themselves in their own minds. They actually think they're holier than others. They do. What did this man say? "I am not like other men. That's what he said. He said, I thank you, God, I'm not like other people. I'm different. I'm holier than they are. I'm better than they are. I'm good. They're bad and I'm good. Well, the Scripture says there's no difference. The Scripture says there's none good. The Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says, but these people say they're good. God says there's none good, but they say they are good. They justify themselves in their own minds. And here's the second mark of a self-righteous person. They even justify themselves before God. They call on God to be a witness of the fact that they're good. He said, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. You know I'm not like other men. He justifies himself in the eyes of God. He calls on God to be his witness that he's different. You know, I'd understand it'd be praiseworthy if he had thanked God for his restraining grace. There are people who haven't indulged in the more wicked vices, but they ought to thank God that he restrained them, that he kept them from those wicked devices and vices. But this man's saying, I'm not like other people in my heart, but we are in my nature, in my guilt. This is arrogant pride. He justifies himself in his own mind, then he justifies himself before God. And then thirdly, here's the mark of self-righteous people. They compare themselves with the worst kind of people. That's right. They don't compare themselves to God now. They wouldn't dare try that. Or to the holy law of God. But this man here says, I'm not like that publican. He picked out the worst fellow in the temple. And he says, I'm not like him. I'm not like him. You know, Paul deals with that in 2 Corinthians 10. He said, it's dangerous to compare yourselves with one another. He said, listen to it. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, 12, we dare not be of that number who commend themselves, who justify themselves, who measure themselves by themselves, and who compare themselves among themselves. That's not wise. So a self-righteous man, five marks. First one, he justifies himself in his own mind. I'm different. I'm holier than thou. And then he justifies himself in the sight of God. He said, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. And then he compares himself with the worst people. And that makes him look good because he's not like them. But God looks on the heart. Now watch the fourth thing. Self-righteous people base their claim to holiness and outward morality on what they do not do. He said, I'm not an extortioner. Outwardly, he is in his heart. I'm not unjust. Outwardly. I'm not an adulterer. Outwardly. He bases his morality and holiness on what he doesn't do. And then he bases his hope for salvation on what he does do. See that? His morality on what he doesn't do. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't do these things. That makes me good. Outwardly, I don't do those things. And then he bases his hope for eternal life on what he does. He said, I tithe. I give alms. I fast twice a week, you see. This is their claim. Their claim to morality is based on what they don't do. And their claim to life eternal is based on what they do in religion, in the service of God. And here's the fifth mark of a self-righteous person. It's all right here. Listen. Self-righteous people talk a lot about love. They talk a lot about love. I hear them. But they really despise others. They don't love people. I know they say, well, God loves you and I do too. My God might love you, but they don't. A self-righteous man loves himself. And he despises. That's what Christ said. He spake this parable to them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others who were not as holy as they are. These people despise people who are not as pious as they are. You never met a self-righteous person who wasn't critical, overly, strongly critical of other people. They're so critical. They enjoy pointing out other people's weaknesses. Oh, yes, they do. They love to point out other people's weaknesses. I wouldn't do that. They love to point out other people's failures. Look where their children are. Look how their children have ended up. Look what they're doing. My children wouldn't do that. One preacher told me one time, said, my little girl never listened to this rock and roll music. I said, you want to bet? See, that's how they do. They criticize other people's shortcomings, and they brag about their faithfulness and brag about their service to God. And one thing a self-righteous person will never do, he'll never do it. He'll never say, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. He'll never say it. He can't say it. He choked to death before he admit being a sinner. That's right. Old J.M. Gray, one of the great preachers of the past, he wrote this song. Only a sinner saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows. Loving his Savior, tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That's right. God has kept us. God has restrained us. God has blessed us, shed abroad His love, and it's all of grace. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's of His grace through Christ our Lord. And our righteousness is not ours. It's His. Richard Baxter wrote Saints' Everlasting Rest. Richard Baxter always said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. I preach as one who may never preach again. But I'll tell you this, I preach as a dying man to dying men. And one time Richard Baxter was walking down the street and he saw a drunk. And this drunk was staggering from side to side of the sidewalk and almost tumbling and falling. And Richard Baxter said this, he said this, there, except for the grace of God, goes Richard Baxter. There, except for the grace of God, goes Richard Baxter. So, let's look at the parable now. Let's look at the parable. You remember one thing a self-righteous man will never say. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Can't do it. Look at this parable. Our Lord said, two men went up to the temple to pray. Now, both of these men believed in God, or they wouldn't have gone up there to pray. Both of these men went to the same temple. Both of these men engaged in a form of prayer. But outwardly, they were different. Let's look at the Pharisee. One was a Pharisee, very religious. He was an officer in the Jewish religion. He was different in his dress. These fellows wore these broad phylacteries to show their holiness. And they prayed on the street corner and they wore certain kind of robes. He was dressed differently from the publican. He had tokens of religion all around. People who are super religious usually wear some kind of decoration to show that they're religious. And they were different in manner. He was at ease in the temple. He walked right down to the front. The publican stayed in the back. He was different in his language. He talked religious language. He talked about fasting. He talked about praying. He talked about tithing. He talked about all these things. And he was different in general acceptance. Everybody there knew him. And the other was a publican. Now, who's the publican's preacher? Well, the publicans were avoided by the religious Pharisees. They were regarded as great sinners. The publicans were regarded as great sinners. Listen to the scripture. One time the Pharisees said to the Lord's disciples, says, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Publicans and sinners. Why does he eat with them? In Luke 7:34, one of the Pharisees said of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man's not a prophet. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. You see, publicans were disliked. They were regarded as great sinners. In Matthew 21, Christ said to the Pharisees, listen to this. Christ said to the Pharisees, John came preaching righteousness, and you Pharisees didn't believe him. But the publicans and harlots did. Publicans and harlots. And you'll find the publicans and harlots enter heaven and you on the outside. Our Lord said that to them. Zacchaeus was a publican. was a sinner. The Pharisee said, I'm not as other men are. But the publican, how would you describe him? He would say, I'm as other men are. That's the difference. Two men, they're different. All right. These two men approach God. Let's listen as they approach God. The religious man and the sinner approach God. The bad man and the good man both approach God. The Pharisee, the Lord Jesus said, he stood to be seen and to be heard. Matthew 6:5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, Christ said. They love to pray standing in the temple, on the street, in the synagogue, that they might be seen of men. The Pharisee stood. That's what Christ said. And he prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. What does that mean? He prayed about himself. He said, I am not like other men. I am not an extortioner. I fast twice a week. I tithe. I prayed about himself. His dependence was upon himself. There's no mention of mercy. There's no mention of a mediator. There's no mention of his needing help. He's satisfied with what he is and who he is. And his prayer concerned only himself. Listen, there's no confession of sin. There's no celebration of the divine attributes. Hallowed be thy name. There's no request for mercy, grace, or forgiveness. There's no mention of an atonement or sacrifice or sin offering. Actually, this is no prayer at all. This is no prayer at all. It's a sinful, self-righteous display of religious pride. God, listen to it again. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like that fellow. I fast twice a week. Just required to fast once, but I do it twice. I tithe all that I possess, everything, not just some things, everything. And I give alms to the poor. Is this prayer? This is not prayer. One old writer said, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. Prayer is the falling of a tear when none but God is near. Prayer is a contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, attended by angels who rejoice and say, behold, he prays. Well, that's the Pharisee's so-called prayer. Two men went up to the temple. The Pharisee prayed with himself. Now, our Lord describes the sinner's prayer. Here's the bad man. That's the good man's prayer. Now, here's the bad man's prayer. Well, we saw the Pharisee's posture. He prayed standing so to be seen of men. The posture of this publican was afar off. Filled with reverence, filled with awe. He's in the temple. And he realizes that this is where the glory of God and the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant is behind that veil in the temple. And he is filled with reverence and awe and fear in the presence of God. He's in the house of the Lord. Notice this. That's his posture. Notice his eyes. The scripture says the Lord Jesus said he did not lift so much as his eyes to heaven. Didn't wave his hands. Didn't put on a show. All his arrogance and pride were smitten. He didn't even lift his eyes, but his eyes were bowed down with a sense of guilt, a sense of sin, a sense of unworthiness, calling on the living God. Notice his actions. He smote on his breast. What's he doing? He's pointing to the source of his troubles. He's pounding on his breast. That's where his heart is. It's the heart that's deceitful above all things. It's the heart that's desperately wicked. It's out of the heart that man's evil thoughts, blasphemies, adulteries, lust come. Out of the heart. The heart. Keep your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. The fountain of sin. God looks on the heart. God does not look on the outward countenance. God is not amazed by and impressed by what we do outwardly. God Almighty looks on the heart. No question of this man's sincerity, his posture, his eyes downcast, his actions smote on his breast. And listen to his words. Preachers, if there are any preachers listening to me, they know what this man's words, they know what he's saying here. They know what this man is saying. You see, the publicans were Jews who were traitors to their own country and collected taxes for the Romans. That's what Zacchaeus was. He was a Jew. But they hated him because he was. And Matthew also was sitting at the receipt of customs. They taxed their own people. They were instruments of Rome and of Caesar. And this man's he's a compromiser. He's a traitor. He's a wicked sinner. But he knows the Scriptures. Now listen to him as he prays. God, who's he addressing? God against whom I've sinned, and God only. God with whom there is forgiveness and mercy. That's what David said. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. This man knows there's forgiveness with God. God who only can forgive sin. God who delights to show mercy. That God, listen, be merciful to me. You know what he's saying here? Be propitious. Be reconciled. Show mercy to me through the blood of the covenant on the mercy seat. That's the mercy seat. Show mercy. The Jews knew mercy was in the mercy seat, covering the broken law. Moses wrote this in Exodus 25. God told Moses, he said, put the mercy seat on the ark. Put the broken law in the ark. Put the mercy seat to cover the broken law and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. An atonement for your sins. Propitiation. Propitiation. A mercy seat. And I'll meet you, God says. I'll meet you and I'll commune with you on the mercy seat. That's what this man's praying. God, be propitiated. Be propitious. Be merciful. You know, the first thing a sinner wants is mercy, forgiveness. And forgiveness springs from grace. And the mercy of God can only come to us through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us by his blood. So this is his prayer. God, be propitiated. Be reconciled. Be merciful to me. Notice his last line. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. This other man didn't say he's a sinner. He said, I'm not a sinner. But this man says, I'm a sinner. What a difference here. There's no boasting here. No word of boasting. There's not a word of what he's done or a promise of what he will do. This man's words are the words of David in the Psalm of Repentance. I'm just sure he read that psalm many times. Have you? Psalm 51. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, be propitiated, be reconciled, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, purge me with hyssop, I'll be clean, wash me, and I'll be whiter than the snow. Good man's prayer that was no prayer. A bad man's prayer that was a genuine prayer seeking mercy. And our Lord said, listen, in closing, two men left the temple. Two men went up to the temple. Two men prayed. And two men left the temple, the bad man and the good man. And our Lord said, I tell you now. You know, when our Lord says, I tell you, it'd be a good idea to listen, wouldn't it? He said, I tell you now. The publican went down to his house justified. What does that mean? Forgiven? More than that. What does that mean, justified? Pardon? More than that. It means not guilty. It means just as if he had never sinned. All sin gone, remembered no more. The Pharisee went to the temple full of righteousness and confidence and self-esteem. He went home empty, rejected of God, condemned. The publican came to the temple empty, poor, lost. He went home justified, full of grace, rich in mercy, justified before God. I tell you, Christ said, I tell you, the Pharisee justified himself and God condemned him. The publican condemned himself and God justified him. If you don't see what I'm saying, I hope you will. I hope you'll study. The Pharisee justified himself and God condemned him. And the publican condemned himself and God justified him. And our Lord said, I tell you, everyone that exalteth himself is going to be abased. And he that humbleth himself will be exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he'll lift you up. Oh, John Jasper. I love John Jasper's writings. Rhapsody in Black. People used to ask him questions just to hear his wisdom. He'd been dead for years. But a man said to him one time, John Jasper, when you get to heaven's gates and you're standing there and someone asks you, what right have you got to be here, John Jasper? What right have you got to be in heaven? What you going to say? John Jasper said, I'm going to say, I got no right to be here at all, because I'm not here on my rights. I'm here on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved a sinner like me. You want this tape? The bad man and the good man. Or the good man and the bad man. You write for it. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, God bless you.